And now on Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy, the back page with David Riccio.
Morning, Dave. How are you going?
Hey, good morning, boys.
What's making news in your life, David?
Well, where do we start, Brandy? That's an open-ended question. Guys, interesting day today. Down in Melbourne at the MCG, we have the two State of Origin coaches, Billy Slater from Queensland, obviously, and Michael Maguire, the new head coach of the Blues. Also, there will be Harry Grant from the Melbourne Storm and also the Queensland Maroons, launching 50 days to go until Origin 1. We know that the Origin Series returns to Melbourne this year, and it is 50 days to go. Press conference, media launch, etc. at the MCG today. So, guys, we can expect some Origin hype to begin from this morning. I can tell you guys, in the background, Michael Maguire has been already, you could say, underway, working feverishly to get a grip on who he likes, what he's thinking as far as game plans and concern. He's been getting the playmakers together. That happened last Tuesday night out at Homebush at the New Ooh. South Wales Rugby League Centre of Excellence. He called together potential candidates. It would be too much to say that these guys are in the frame. There's just still so much water to flow. But the likes of Tom Trbojevic, Nicho Hynes, Blake Brayley, genuine bolter as far as a dummy half option is concerned, Clint Gutherson, Mitch Moses, guys, still with the broken foot. He was there. There was a few omissions. Penrith boys had the bye. They didn't get to go along due to the fact that they took some time away from footy. And interestingly, the South Sydney guys didn't go either. Latrell Mitchell, Damien Cook, Cody Walker, as a result of the club's current form. So, look, Michael Maguire's already in the background working on what could be very much a new-look Blues side.
Yeah, it's interesting. The test of incumbency, you know, we often talk, he's picked because he's the incumbent. I don't think has it previously been so tested than what this Game 1 side will be this year, because when you think about it, New South Wales won Game 3 last year. The reigning man of the match is Cody Walker, 5-8 of New South Wales, where they win Game 3. James Tedesco's situation, you know, captain of fullback. Michael Maguire, new coach, is it fresh start at fullback? I think incumbency is absolutely on trial, Game 1 this year, David. And can I ask you this? Are things tight? Is there no leaking there so far? You haven't heard much? Like, you're trying to join the dots, but you're not hearing much out of the camp or not?
Look, I think it's still early days. And look, I think Michael Maguire has an understanding of the power of State of Origin. There's just no bigger beast in rugby league as far as TV ratings are concerned, promotion, exposure, interest. I mean, this is the one rugby league match that draws in fans from outside rugby league fans. And I think Michael Maguire has an understanding of that. He's certainly made himself accessible to the majority of journalists in Sydney. He's certainly answering the phone when I give him a call. But I just
David,
think
are you asking the hard questions?
Yeah, of course. But again, I'm respectful too that there's so much water to flow. I think the 5-8 situation's fascinating, guys, to Bossy's point. Cody Walker in a struggling South side right at the moment. Mitchell Moses currently out injured with that broken foot. Now, if the timeline is as predicted, and no doubt Mitch is working overtime to come back earlier, he only gets one game. He gets one game before Origin 1 team is selected. And so that'll be interesting whether Mitch Moses is the man on the basis of an 80-minute performance, if indeed he comes back on that expected return date. And the other one's obviously Jerome Luai.
Here's a little question for you, okay, on the read. They're very perceptive on the text. Dave the Nudist, is that an omen that no New South Wales player is at the G today, as there are no guaranteed picks, like not even a James Tedesco? That's a fair observation, little query about today's event, or is it just a matter of logistics?
Yeah. I would put it down to logistics. I think if there's one player that, could be there, it would be the halfback, Nathan Cleary. He's the absolute over-the-line certainty but to lead this Blues side. But the problem is he's currently out with a hamstring injury, and flying to Melbourne probably isn't the best process of rehabilitation. So I would say it's more logistics. Look, in answer to the caller's question, bouncing Benny Elias will be the New South Wales ambassador. Not so much a player like Harry Grant. Obviously, he's based in Melbourne, guys. That's a big obvious reason why Harry's going along. But imagine Benny Elias will be representing the Blues.
Benny will have plenty to say.
Yes.
If he gets a chance.
Yes.
If he gets a chance, he'll have plenty to say. Now, let's go to Lomax. Signing should be announced soon. We heard Brad Arthur this morning speaking in glowing terms of...
Who did we hear, Brandy?
Brad Arthur.
Brad Arthur.
Speaking in, from Budapest. From But Zach Lomax. It looked like a done deal after he went to dinner at the Arthur House the other week.
Cutlets. They brought out the best cutlets. The French trim cutlets. They were the clincher. Not just any cutlets. They went the French trim, apparently.
Are they really? Do you think there could be a swap this year? It doesn't. Flano just sounds like he's adamant that Lomax will be a dragon for 2024.
Yeah. Look, in short, no. I don't think there'll be a swap unless all of a sudden Parramatta have decided to release Mitchell Moses down to the St. George Illawarra Dragons. I reckon that's the only player.
Right. Exactly. Who's up for grabs? Like when Blaise Talangi looks like he could be a good player, but you know you're swapping. You're doing that this year. I don't think so.
Yeah, it's in salary cap terms. It has to be a like for like replacement, and for what Flano's looking for at this point in time, as he moves towards the back end of Ben Hunt's career, despite the fact that there's been some talks about potentially Ben Hunt staying on for another season. I think that's a byproduct of looking at the open market and knowing which halves are available. And so what I'm saying there is if there's only one opportunity to get into the market with a marquee buy, it would only be Mitchell Moses. That's not going to happen. We know that. So I think Zach Lomax stays. All my indications are, guys, is that Lomax deal will be formally announced today through the Parramatta Club.
Okay.
So... it leads to the next point of which, what does it do to the Parramatta roster outside of St. George Illawarra swap deals? And what I mean by that is what impact does it have on the Eels cap and do they need to lose a player? All my conversations with the Eels at this point in time is that they don't need to lose a player, yet we have a situation, guys, where young Ethan Sanders, halfback coming through the club, has the round six option, beyond round six option, to sign with a rival club. We know that's the Raiders. This is a mere formality, guys. He's going to the Raiders. It will happen. And that discussion about a player leaving Parramatta early, that certainly sits in the Ethan Sanders category. I think there'll be some pressure on from maybe Sanders and his management to potentially get out of Parramatta and get to Canberra ASAP. And then the only other one, guys, is the one that Brandy mentioned, is that Blaise Talangi has an option in his contract of which he's yet to trigger, and that is he can roll over for another season at Parramatta, and he's yet to trigger that. Now, that's gone by through without happening. So Blaise is effectively on the open market. I dare say that's a player Saints would look at, and as would a number of clubs. So... Blaise Talangi could be an interesting watch, given guys, the mail is he's expected to be named back in the Eels lineup this weekend.
I just wonder whether Ethan Sanders though is like that thought was before Jamal Fogarty now playing career best football and Ethan Strange has emerged and looks like going to be a 200
he's a lock
gamer
in the number six.
Yeah,
he's a
so
lock.
I don't know.
He stays there.
There's no spots there. By the way, reacting to your chat, David, Shorty of Picton says, watch Corey Norman playing for Thirlmere in Group 6 at Picton on Saturday. Thank you, Shorty, for the text on the Edgewater Homes text line, 0457 736 736.
And Teamless Tuesday out this afternoon, the teams. There's a number of clubs that have players injured. You know, it will. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how they fill those spots, and some of them important players, key players. But what do you think Cameron Seraldo will do at fullback? Will it be Taff, Tracy? Will it be Crichton?
Yeah, suddenly Cameron Seraldo's got a huge dilemma and a major decision to make. Because, yeah, who do you drop from that side, that back line that played so
not
well
Bronson
against the
Cherry.
Storm last week? Wow, like honestly, I'd love to be able to declare which way Cameron Seraldo will go. What I do know is that the coaching staff were so supportive of it, and the game that Blake Taff was having prior to that, you know, being concussed and taken out of the match on the basis of a HIA, the development of his game was on a trajectory of which they didn't want to break down. So I get the sense that Taff could be right back in the frame to come back in, but what it does for the rest of the back line is fascinating. I think it's up for great debate from fans and callers on what Cameron Seraldo does. Kiraz could be an option of falling out. To your point, Brandy, you know, two weeks ago, Bronson Cherry's not even in the frame. Now you're saying he can't be left out of the side.
No, can't.
It's going to be interesting to see which way it falls come 4 o'clock.
Yeah, he was that good against Melbourne that he cannot be left out of the side. I think the things you saw from Bronson Cherry against Melbourne make him a left centre pick. Whether he plays left or right, I don't think that matters. But his hands, his power, he put it all together against the Storm.
Not everyone's a fan of Zach Lomax at the Dragons. We'd keep him. Port Adelaide Dragon, who you know well, David. He seems to know you. Lads, we are happy to swap a witch's hat for Lomax. Wow.
Wow, wow, wow.
Not the way he's playing at the moment.
Wow.
Lomax is, you know, man of the match the other
Well,
day.
He does say earlier, I think people are forgetting he's been, has underperformed and been an internal disruptor for years. Trust me, Eels fans, you are doing us a favour and you'll soon learn that, says the Port Adelaide Dragon. So he's doubled down.
David, Telegraph will have all the breaking news through
just
the day.
Quickly, Bossy.
Oh, yes, David, please. Breaking news.
Yep. You know, I was just going to say real quickly, I suspect Christian Tupolotu will come into that Saints lineup at 4 o'clock this afternoon with concerns over Jack Bird and a concussion. So keep an eye on that one.
Okay. Good stuff, David. And just another one. The bag says, will New South Wales wear the dark blue jersey or get rid of it?
We just can't go down the dark blue jersey path again. The navy jersey.
Even though I'm Lomaxed out, when you just said Tupolotu comes into the side, surely he plays wing, Lomax goes to centre, doesn't he? That's irony. On a day that he could be signing with Parramatta, Lomax will be in the centres.
That's my mail,
guys. Okay. Great to chat, David.
Thanks, boys. Go well.
Here's in the back of next stand-up when David says that. Just before a break, on the text, morning, Vossie and Brandy. Am I the only one uncomfortable about David Clemmer only getting a couple of fines, in fact? In light of concussion awareness, I thought his hit on Flanagan was forceful contact to the head. Should have been a sin bin on the day and certainly worth more than a fine. I see this contact as more dangerous than the Allier contact on Johnson, which attracted a suspension from Scott. That's a good point, that one, Allier suspension as opposed to David Clemmer. So David Clemmer picked up two fines yesterday for his tackles back-to-back, about 5 minutes apart. But for the first one, penalised in-game, so they've ruled it high. It was forceful. I'm now lost. I'm now confused on what is forceful and what isn't. If the Clemmer one wasn't forceful and warranted sterner action.
I agree.
I'm with the texter.
I was sure that David Clemmer would be facing even just a 1 week suspension for a grade one.
Yeah, it seemed a little bit further up than a fine. That one, I can live with a fine for the second one, but the first one I thought looked forceful. So appreciate the text, Scott. I think you're on the money there. 24 and a half minutes after seven. We're powered by Kubota. Lawnmowers, tractors, Land Pride attachments, they got the gear.